We also bring you greetings in Jesus' name this morning. We're glad to be here. Appreciated also what was brought out and the tribute that was given to mothers and so on. I thought of titling the message, A Mother's Testament. I'd like to turn to Hebrews and look first of all at the testament that Christ left us. And it talks here about what a testament is as relates to Jesus Christ and what he did for us. In Hebrews chapter 9, we'll start reading in verse 1. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He's talking here because of what Christ did for us, how that urges us to live, to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. And then it goes on and explains more about, to me it speaks of the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And as I was studying for this message, I had to think so often and much of my mom. And with her not being here anymore, and we still, you know, when we talk, think of the things, the heart that she had for her children, and the things that she taught us about how that testament is in such force. As it says here, about a testament is of force after men are dead. And I do not know how many of you are here today whose mom is no longer on this side of eternity. But I believe there's quite a few of us that can identify with that. And for the mothers who are still here today, you are building your testament. You are building your testimony. And what do you want to be known today? I know what my mom is known for, the devotion that she had to her husband and to her children. It speaks loud today, and it seems the older that mothers get, their works just speak louder. I was thinking of a virtuous woman back in Proverbs 30. Here was the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? And he gives some direction here, or he tells of the direction that his mother gave him. He says in verse 10, Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. But the verse just before that got my attention, where he says, Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. A virtuous woman will plead the cause of the poor and needy. first of all to her household, and then it will reach out from there. Plead the cause of the poor and needy. And then he's asked the question, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And virtuous means to be morally good, morally excellent. That's one of the meanings. Virtuous does mean a lot of different good fruits of the Spirit and so on. In Proverbs 1, verse 8, he says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. What is the law of your mother? And I remember times that I disobeyed my mom. And there were times you would think, you know, I got away with it. But today I realize that I never got away with it. Because there was someone else behind my mom that was God himself. He does not let you get away with anything. And so with your mom having the support of all God, Almighty God himself, you can't get away with things. Even if you think that you can pull the wool over her eyes, so to speak, you will be held accountable within your own heart, and children do very well to know that. Because there's somebody else going to stand in for your mom. It is the law of your mother. And if you disobey the principles that she teaches you, it is like striking yourself. It is doing damage to your own self. If you can lie and get away with it, on the surface, underneath you will not. It is a strike against your own soul, against your own life. One lie leads to another one. Or shirking of a duty, it leads to more shirking of a duty. And when you shirk like that, it is a strike against your own life. There is no improvement in your life. It descends lower and lower, and they become habits. So let's look at the force of a mother's testament today. It has to do, certainly, with their devotion to God. And I was thinking of Ruth, taking a few examples there from the book of Ruth. And we remember the story, I'm sure, of how Naomi and her husband had gone over to the land of Moab, and both of their sons were married to Moabitish women. And the time came when Naomi's husband and both of the boys deceased. They died in that land, and the ladies were all left alone, the two wives and Naomi, or this Naomi and her daughters-in-law. They were left all alone. And Naomi, in the bitterness of her soul, brings out how God dealt hard with her and left her empty or with nothing. She felt that way. But things are not always as they appear on the surface. But Naomi felt led to go back to the land where she came from, to the land of Israel. And it was looked at like home, over there where the God of Israel is. And that is where Naomi wanted to go back to. Not sure why they went to the land of Moab. But she wanted to go back there, and she told her daughters-in-law that she's going, and they went with her. But when it came to a certain point on that road where they were returning, Naomi said, look, daughters, you have been good to me, and I wish you the best. You're likely better off just going back the way things were. I'll go back to my home, and you go back to your home and your gods and so on. And it was hard to part. They had lived together and they had built relationships with each other, and it was hard to part. And finally, Orpha, in weeping, she kissed her mother-in-law and she left. And then Ruth herself was left. And then Naomi talked to her about returning. But Ruth was not so easily persuaded. Naomi had told them that it grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. But then Ruth said this: entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and they got thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. This is what Ruth said to her mother-in-law. And Ruth was turning away from her home and all that she had been brought up with, and she was going with her mother-in-law because she knew that that is where the God of Israel is. She knew that was where the God was that made heaven and earth. That was the commitment that Ruth had. And don't, whatever all happens, I will go with you no matter what happens. And where you die, that's where I want to die, and that's where I want to be buried. That is total commitment coming from a Moabite woman. And it really blesses me that as we go through the Old Testament and we see the times that Gentile people came out and voiced that kind of commitment, God did not reject them. He accepted them. And this Ruth became part of the direct lineage of where our Savior then came from. She was, God accepted her into her family, into his family totally. But she was, as Boaz said, all the city of my people know that you are a virtuous woman. And so that kind of, that commitment that a woman has to God, first of all, is the foundation and the basis for her virtue and every good work that she can do. So children, if you get up in the morning, some morning, and you see your mom spending time alone with her Bible, she is adding to her foundation. She is concerned about her children, and she wants to do right by her children and her husband. Give her that time. Don't disturb her. Give her that time that she needs to spend time with God. At the wedding yesterday, it came to my mind of speaking just a little bit about the garden that God created and made when he made the earth. It tells me that God loves gardens. He planted a garden. And the thing about it is that when God planted a garden on this earth, he also planted a little garden in the heart of each person on this earth. There is a little garden there within everyone's heart. And God, when he made this garden, he told the man to go into the garden and dress it and keep it. To dress it and keep it. Now, how do you dress and keep a garden? Now, let's think about the garden in your heart. The garden in your heart. God is asking us to dress and keep it. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you need to be connected with God. And you need to do what God says. You need to spend time with God, because in the garden, children, you know exactly what happens to a garden that is just left to itself. You know when your parents go out there and they plant the sweet corn, they plant the tomatoes, They plant the lettuce and the carrots and the radishes, all those different things in the garden, and those things starting to grow. What else comes up? Can you tell me, Zachary? Weeds. That's right. Weeds come up. And the weeds come up and they choke the good plants to the point where you get nothing. Or very little, and the fruit is very small and little bitty, and it's just not a whole lot there. Now, when you look at the garden of your heart, and the Bible talks about purity, and in our Sunday school lesson, we talked about the things it says there about keeping our bodies pure, or knowing how to possess our vessels. How do you possess your garden? And in prison service the last time, Brother Ralph talked about the garden. And when we spend our time in the morning or evening in devotions, that we are spending time in the garden with God. There's a song that we sing, I Go to the Garden Alone, and it talks about the sweetness of fellowship with Jesus Christ, with God, and so on. And that's wonderful how it brings that out. But God is giving all of us the responsibility to take care of the garden in our heart. And that garden is what a good mom is concerned about with her children. And that's why we talk about the law of a mother. A good mother will give a spanking to a child who lies. She will give a spanking to a child who disobeys. She'll give a spanking to a child who disrespects the father. And the father has a very real part to do in this as well. It's certainly not all on the wife in raising children. We know that. The fathers also have a very real part to play, and maybe we'll hear more about that on Father's Day. I don't know. But a mother, when she gives these precepts and they are obeyed, God blesses that mother's testament, and that mother's testament is building up in force to the point where when that mom is no longer here, she's yet being dead, yet speaketh. Her works speak, and they speak loud. And if children just realize what you've got if your mom is still here, and you've already heard about, I wish I could just grab the moment and keep it here, if I just could. But God didn't make things that way. I flew to Mexico. I often kissed my mom on her forehead when I met her. I'd go up there, and when I would leave, she would come to me, and she would just want to give me a kiss yet before I go out the door. That was just mom. And she was so respectful and uplifting and so on. But the time came when I flew down to Mexico, and I kissed my mom for the last time. The last time. And she's gone. And I've often wondered, and I guess God doesn't want us to know exactly how the afterlife is, because I don't know. I don't know if my mom sees me preaching this message today and saying these things. But I like to think that she does. That somehow they are aware and they know. And I think it would be good, it is good for us, if we have that mindset that if after our mothers are gone, that they are still aware And that we would have the mindset that, you know, I want to be careful how I live my life, that I honor my mom. Even though she's not here, she might see what's going on. Could that help us? So while we have our moms, let's love them. Be kind to them. Because there really is no one like her. They fiercely love their children. And sometimes children, it might not feel that way, but they do. It starts very young when a mother has a little baby. And she takes care of all those little needs that are there. God just put that in there into a mother's heart. And she wants to do the best that she can for her children. And, you know, when that newborn baby comes, it's awfully important to that mother how that baby is even thought about and how that baby is handled. It's very important. I have already held babies, and I could just feel radiating from that mother the approval that she was wanting for her baby. God put that there. They can also be very possessive of their children. And yesterday at the wedding, it was brought out how it was Gene's wife, Caroline's dad, brought out how when Gene had dated their daughter for a while, and then he came to ask if he could have her. And mom said, "Gene, if you are what you say you are, you can have my daughter. But if you're not, I will kill you myself." And she may, and I know that language is a little different than what we would use, but that is the picture of a mom that is very protective of her children. You remember when King David had flown into the wilderness, and his enemies were getting advice from two people that they thought were wise. Ahithophel was one of them, and I forgot who the other one was. But the one of them gave the advice about King David that right now he is as a bear that's robbed of her whelps. I guess that means a bear when the little ones are taken away. You know, a lot of times when a bear attacks, it's a sow that feels that her cubs are threatened. Well, I know that's talking about animals, but there is something in our good mother's heart today that is protective of that child. And it's just there. And we do well to thank God for putting that in our mothers. So while you have your mom, and I know today, I guess my message is more coming out as speaking about those mothers who are not here anymore. But life deals us different situations at times that helps us to realize some things. And one thing that has helped me to realize that when you look at a baby that is just born, and you look at all the needs that baby has, it needs to be fed. It needs its diaper changed. It needs to smell good. And that's what the mothers are all concerned about. They are so concerned about all those needs that can come up about this little baby. But with what the new normal that we have. And this is what has been very good for me to realize this, is that the needs that a baby has when it is born and the needs that a mom can have before she dies, a lot of them are the same. And just think about that. When mothers become old and can no longer help themselves, I'm sure they desperately would like to. But they need children who are understanding and kind and are there to do for them what they did for you. The same things. We need to love them verbally. Tell them that you love them. You never know when they're taken away. You never know that the time might come when you will say, I wish I would have told my mom. It might be too late later. Love her physically. Do things for her. She wiped the food off your face. And she deserves your touch. Love her patiently. The youth this afternoon, when you go to sing at Morningside, there's older moms there. Be sensitive to those needs. Be sensitive to the things you say, because it means the world to them. They are there. They feel their oldness. And they see these young people come in there full of life and smiles and so on. And it makes them think back when they were young. But they are old. They had to accept the new normals. And life goes on. And it's not that we would like life any different. God ordained these things, and it's blessed be the name of the Lord in the way he has created these things. But let's take a hold of the moment. Let's look at the things that we're doing today. Husbands, love your wives. Children, love your mothers. Love them patiently. Love them attentively. When they speak to you, be sure that you are listening. And when you complain, understand that they can't always give you what you want. And it's not good for you. Love her gratefully. Be grateful for the things that she does for you. And think about the things she does, because there's many of them that you will miss. There's many things she does for you that we will miss. You do not know. I'm not sure if she knows herself, but she does a lot. Love her generously and love her honorably. Lord, help us to never be too busy for moms. closing, I'd like to read a little in Titus, where he says in Titus chapter 2, verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. I like that. Teachers of good things. Good moms are teachers of good things. And then it says that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Then Peter also talks about a wife that is like a jewel. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. A mother's conversation is powerful. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. In the sight of God. This is what God looks at. And going back and looking at the garden that is in every heart. There is either weeds there, or there's weeds and fruit, or there is fruit. But I know we have this carnal body that we still have. And it is susceptible to temptations and lusts and things like that. But let's be careful that we honor and glorify God with our bodies. And God has given us bodies that we can give life to each other. He even says that a life can be like a well of living water coming out of that, flowing out of that to others. If there are people who feel undervalued, value them. Help them to realize that they are valued by God and by us. That is what a godly woman is all about. It hurts a mother if a child feels undervalued. If a child feels like he's not worth anything. Mom wants to give you value. He says, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. And then he goes on and talks to the husbands about having compassion for them. Considering their needs is so important. In looking, I don't know what all goes through your minds as far as the memories that you have of your mothers, the ones who are no longer here. But I do know that every mother wants the best for her children. She wants the best for her family. And so let's look at what mom does. And let's listen attentively. Let's hear what she is saying. Because when she speaks, she is looking out for you. Even if there's times it does not feel that way. And I remember the times when I disobeyed my mom. And now today, I wish I could do those things all over. But I can't. But even in spite of the fact that I would disobey my mom, she still loved me, and I knew it. She still wanted the best for me, and I knew that. God uses mothers to help his children feel his love. God uses mothers to help us feel his love. Let's kneel to pray.